The church celebrates in the beginning of November the wonderful feast of All Saints Day, and then followed by All Souls Day. And these days, All Saints and All Souls really force us to think about what the church calls the last things, things that come to us at the very end of human experience, the last things being death and judgment and heaven, hell, and purgatory. It's important to think about these things because they make up an essential, basic part of reality. All Saints Day teaches us about the reality of heaven, eternal life. Heaven is real. It is a state of perfect happiness. The Catechism says that heaven is the fulfillment of the deepest human longings. And what are some of these human longings? The things that we desire mostly in life. You know, we have many desires, but there are some desires we have that are really profound. The desire for friendship, the desire for life, the desire for love. Well, the Catechism of the Catholic Church says that heaven is the fulfillment of these deep human longings. And why is it fulfillment of these longings? Very simply, because heaven is perfect communion, perfect union with Almighty God, with the Most Holy Trinity. Abba Father, Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, our sanctifier and our evangelizer. Communion with the mystery of God Himself, and communion with Our Lady, the angels, and all the saints. Here we learn that heaven is a family. It's a family of grace and truth. It's a gathering of grace friendships. I often tell people that friendship is a foretaste of heaven, if the friendship is a holy one, because heaven is eternal friendship with God and with all of God's friends. It's amazing to think about the many saints that we know of. Saints are from all parts of the world. They're from different times and different life situations. Some are old, some were little children, some were married people, others priests and religious and popes and martyrs and so on. And the saints really show us that it is devotion to Jesus Christ that unites us. A couple years ago, Pope Benedict had canonized several saints, and two of them who were canonized were young people, Saint Kateri Tagaquita, who was from upstate New York, and Saint Pedro Calungsod, who was from the Philippines. And these two young saints lived pretty much at the same time. Their lives had overlapped by several years, in the 1600s, from opposite sides of the world. Two teenagers who wanted to know Jesus Christ and to follow Him and to live a Catholic life. They had never met each other until they got to heaven, and yet they were united in their life by their devotion to the Lord Jesus. Heaven is our goal, the greatest orientation that anyone can have in their life is an orientation towards heaven. And that's what we want to work to have. We want to act in such a way, desire in such a way, speak in such a way that orients our life towards heaven. Heaven is a place for those who have been perfected by the grace of Christ. Now, the opposite of heaven is not the earth. The opposite of heaven is hell. Hell is real. It's a state of eternal loss. You know, people don't believe in the existence and possibility of hell, but that doesn't change reality. It is real. Hell is for those who have died in mortal sin without repentance and without accepting God's merciful love. It's for those who freely choose to separate themselves from God. I heard it said by an eminent theologian, a truly good theologian, that one of the great pains of hell is that you see that God is your source of happiness, and you hate Him. You've locked yourself by your own free choice into this hatred for God and for the things of God. And there's no love in hell. Dante, in his poem, poetic work of the Inferno, pictures that the lowest region of hell is ice. Now, this is, you know, artistic language, but he says the truth it communicates is that there's no warmth of love in the hearts of those who are in hell. They've turned against the love of God and love of neighbor. People when they don't believe in the existence and possibility of hell are not believing in reality. It is real and it is possible for any one of us. There is ultimate justice. If hell were not real, then we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. You know, people often think that, oh, because you're alive and God is loving, then everyone's going to go to heaven. Well, if we can't possibly ever end up in hell, if that's not possible for anyone, then there's no need for Christ, there's no need for baptism and the sacraments, there's no need for any church on the earth. You could simply just eat, drink, and be merry, because everything's all fine for you. No, it's a possibility. Our Lady, when she came to Fatima, revealed to three little children the reality of hell. Now, they knew about it, but she showed them the reality. She gave them a vision of hell. And you know something? It didn't traumatize them. You know, sometimes I've heard stories of places where if you speak about hell, someone will complain, oh, my kid heard that talk about hell and they're traumatized. And then the person who spoke about hell gets in trouble or something. But Our Lady is a mother. She's the best mother there is. And she showed these three little children the possibility of hell. And you know what happened to them? They dedicated their own lives to the salvation of souls. Their own souls first and the souls of those around them. By doing everything they could to lead people to Christ and to Our Lady. And that's what life's all about. So Our Lady, in her perfect motherhood, led these children quickly to live life in the best way that life can be lived, living for the salvation of souls. In other words, living for heaven. Now, we come, though, to a problem. Heaven is for those who are perfect. Hell is for those who can't get to heaven because of their own sinfulness and their own bad choices. Their own bad free choices. It's an interesting thing in the catechism. You know, a lot of people think that, okay, God's going to send this person to hell and that one to hell. But the catechism says that the souls that end up in hell are there by their own free choice. They freely choose to reject God and His word, to choose the things that are contrary to the law of the Lord. They use their freedom in a bad way. Well, what about those who love God and try to follow Christ, but they're not perfect? Well, then we have this reality, purgatory. Now, the word purgatory does not appear in the Bible anywhere, but the reality of it does. When we have cases, even in the Old Testament, of people praying for those who have died. If there's only heaven and hell, well, for those in heaven, your prayers are useless because they can't benefit those who are in heaven. Those who are in hell, it's an eternal loss, so your prayers can't help them either. So the logic of praying for those who have died clearly shows us there's some other state of human existence beyond death that is neither heaven nor hell, and that's purgatory. And purgatory is for those who die in God's grace and friendship but are imperfect. They're kind of like those who limp along the way. St. Thomas Aquinas said in one of his articles that it is far better to limp along the way of Christ than to stride along off the way. The saints in heaven are those who have ran along the way of Christ. Purgatory for those who may have limped along the way of Christ. They've struggled to fight the good fight of faith. They may have fallen, but they get back up. But they still have some attachment to sin or some weakness. That's purgatory. It's the time of purification. Now, this is why we pray for the dead. All Souls Day is the Church's way of reminding us, pray for the dead. Now, I think one of the problems today is when someone dies, a lot of people today will say, well, just keep them alive in your memories. Think good things about them and they'll still live on. But that's not what we really want to do, because, you know, when someone dies, what we miss the most is that we don't have them here. We don't just want to remember them. We actually should pray for them. When we celebrate Mass for someone who has died, some people think the Mass is just a way to remember the person, to have like something in their honor. No, it's an action of praying for that person. When you go to the graveyard, when you have a funeral Mass, the really only meaning of it is praying for those who have died. Now, this leads us to think about the reality of death. Death is real. You know, I've been a priest for 10 years. I remember when I was first ordained, it was really difficult for me to do funerals and to go to hospitals to see dying people or people who have just died through various means, either through the breakdown of human life or some tragedy or something. And over the 10 years, I have become intimately aware that everyone is experiencing the death of someone in their life. You know, it's going on all the time. It's a reality of life, and we would do well to acknowledge this reality. But what is death? Well, we understand death as a biological process. It's the breakdown of all of the life processes in a human body for various reasons. But we do not understand what death is as a human experience because we're among the living. But what is death? What is it? Well, it is an encounter with Jesus Christ, the judge, who at the moment of our death judges us. But what exactly happens in that moment remains unclear to us who remain alive. And so this is why we pray for those who have died. Think about this, and this is very interesting. God himself is eternal. He created everything. He even created the thing that we call time. God himself is above time. He's beyond time. He's timeless. He's eternal. He has no beginning and no end. He's totally above the confines of time. Death occurs in time, at a specific time. Doctors will say the death is recorded at 2:27 p.m. at this day, at this hospital, cause of death, whatever. But death is an encounter with God, who is outside of time. So at death, we have the intersection of something that is bound by time, namely the moment of death, with someone who's not bound by time, and that is the mystery of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when we pray for those who have died 50 years ago, or 100 years ago, or 5 months ago, our prayers can touch their soul at their moment of death. Saint Faustina, who's the great saint of that awesome devotion, the Divine Mercy, which is something that I really feel that you should make part of your life, had many revelations from Jesus, and Jesus spoke to her in her revelations about what happens when someone dies. In her diary, Divine Mercy in My Soul, St. Faustina said that Jesus engages in a dialogue with the soul of the person who has just died. He even dialogues with someone who's died in despair and offers him his grace of final mercy. Well, our prayers for those who have died are meant for that mysterious encounter with Christ, that they will be purified of their sinfulness, that they will be strengthened beyond their weaknesses, that they will say yes to the Lord and accept his grace in their soul. Now, all of this is very mysterious because we're not actually there, but we can pray for those who have died. We can do penance for them. Now, before I finish this homily on the last things and all saints and all souls and heaven, hell, and purgatory, something I really need to say, and there's something going on in America and around the world that is a problem. And you can find these realities in many of our cities and towns. People often, even in the face of death, will immediately become superstitious. There's a sort of mathematical equation which says that when faith in the true God decreases, superstition increases. And what do I mean by this? When someone whom they've loved has died, they immediately contact these people called mediums, or psychics, or people involved in astrology, and they attempt to contact the dead. I'm going to tell you that this is not good. Actually, it's a grave sin against the first commandment. if you've ever been involved in these kind of things, then bring that to confession and stay away from it. At best, the people who do these things are frauds. They're fraudulent. They're just making stuff up and taking your money. They'll tell you some information that sounds very interesting about your deceased loved one, and then they'll take $150 from you. That's the going rate at one of these places. Well, the worst case is these people are involved in the demonic. And you get involved in that, and then the spirit of evil, the spirits of evil, can really mess with your life, and you don't want to do that. Stay away from all that stuff. Instead, when someone dies, you turn to Jesus Christ. Don't turn to the person who has died. You turn to Christ, first of all, and you pray for that person. Have masses offered for them. Pray for them when you go to the cemetery. You know, a graveyard is not a place to witness the victory of death. It's a way to love those who have died. St. Ambrose, who was the bishop who helped bring St. Augustine into the church, when his brother died, said, you know, he was very sorrowful at the death of his brother. He said that he would continue to love his brother by praying for him. That's what you got to do. Don't love them by just remembering them, and don't love them by getting involved in these sinful, occult, and superstitious practices. That's not love. You love them by praying for them. So, here we have these heavy realities, the last things: heaven, hell, purgatory, death, judgment. In the face of the mystery of death, we should turn to the only one who has conquered death, and that's Jesus. You know, Jesus doesn't just talk about life after death, but he dies. He really dies on the cross. He's buried, and he rises again in victory. In this way, Jesus Christ is the master of the mystery of death. He's the sovereign Lord of that mystery. He's above it all. And so we turn to him. Christ is our Lord, and he loves us. May we trust in his merciful love, follow his teaching, and keep the gospel and pray for those who have died. In this way, brothers and sisters, we will live and help others to live in the light of Jesus Christ, knowing that the light of Christ shines in the darkness, and even the darkness of death has not and will never overcome the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord. God bless you.